Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, thank you for the liquid sunshine that we so desperately need. God, we just thank you for this place that you've given us where we can come and learn from your word. Lord, be encouraged by one another and just not only fellowship with you, but also fellowship with one another. Lord, we pray that you would find us teachable this morning. Help us to just cast our cares upon you, Lord, that we might have a clear mind and a clear heart to receive what you want to teach us today. And we'll thank you for what you do in us and through us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to wrap that up this morning, though we're not done with the concordance by any means. We'll be using that throughout our lessons. Some days we'll use it more than others, but it'll always be there because I'll always have mine with me if no one else does. Hebrews chapter 5. All right, and verse 13. And Gary, would you mind reading that for us, please?
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe.
Okay. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we dissected these verses for the past several weeks now, and we've gotten a lot of meat on them bones, and we're going to summarize that here in just a minute. But I wanted to contrast the two verses. Every one of us began our Christian life as a Hebrews 5:13 Christian. We began by using the milk because we were unskillful in the word of righteousness, and that's not a slam. It's because we were babes. We're new Christians. We're new converts. God doesn't expect us to know everything about the Scriptures or know a whole lot of anything about the Scriptures when we first get saved. But we have to have a beginning point, and we begin with the milk of the Word. And we began with the milk of the Word so we could grow thereby. I call that the crawling stage, and using the analogy of having, you know, children, having a baby. That's the crawling stage, but our goal should be to become a Hebrews 5:14 Christian so that we in turn can run the race that God has set before us. And we looked at that some weeks back in Hebrews 12:1. So the contrast is there, and it's also really a roadmap, if you will, of what God expects of our Christian life. He expects us to start with milk because we're unskillful, but then he also expects us to graduate to strong meat because he also expects us to be a full age. And we'll get to full age by reason of use. And as a result of that, we'll be able to discern both good and evil. So now what I want to do is have you hold your place here and turn back to 2 Timothy 2:15. This is where we began dissecting verses. 2 Timothy 2:15. And what I'll have you do there is I'll have you follow along in the verse as I read our expanded definition that we found when we used our concordance and looked up some of the key words. 2 Timothy 2:15. Begins with the word study. And so now I'm going to read it the way that we defined it as you follow along in the scriptures, and you'll see how much more meat we were able to put on those bones. Study, make effort, be earnest, be diligent, endeavor, labor to show thyself acceptable unto God, a toiler, a laborer, a teacher that needeth not to be disgraced, plainly and correctly dissecting and expounding the word of truth. That's what we came up with in our exercise in the concordance. And we didn't look up every single word, but we did look up the most important words. so that we could get a fuller meaning of what that verse is talking about. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to do the same thing with these two verses. And we're going to see there's a lot of meat that we've added to this skeleton, if you will. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is inexperienced in the reasoning of what's right, for he is immature. But solid nourishment belongeth to them that are mature and complete, even those who by reason of practice have their perception and judgment trained to discriminate and judge both what's valuable and what's worthless. That's what we came up with in our exercises in the Concordance. And those are just, what, three verses of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Now, it took a lot of work, didn't it?
Yes, sir, it did.
It did. Now, you doing it on your own, obviously, you'll be able to make that timeline a lot shorter because there won't be, you know, distractions, and you won't spend a lot of time having to, you know, wait for those that are slower and looking them up and so on. But the point is still, this is the kind of meat that you can come up with in your own Bible study, because God doesn't say read to show thyself approved unto God. He says study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, reading is not bad.
That's right.
But reading is only going to get you what reading is going to get you.
That's right.
And where the danger lies in reading is that what if you misunderstand or misinterpret some of the words in a verse and you miss the whole teaching? And in turn, that misconception takes you off on a rabbit trail to where you start to believe some things that aren't right biblically, all because of one wrong turn you made in a verse that you read. Or maybe you heard it from some teacher on the radio or wherever else, and you read the verse yourself and you said, well, yeah, that sounds like what it means. But you didn't take the time to look it up to see that, wait a minute, it doesn't mean that at all. John.
I would say that's why a lot of cults, even though they have built the King James Bible, they'll go off on tangents and things like that because they don't really study. They're just looking at a verse. Mm-hmm. I think of, you know, in Kentucky with the snake handling churches,
Yes.
Because it says, they haven't studied to find out what it really means.
Uh-huh.
But because it's here, in their ignorance, they just say, okay, well, you know, we can hold these rattlesnakes and all that.
Right. Right.
That's right.
So they make a doctrine out of that, and now they go off on a wild tangent, and all the things that they should be doing, they're not doing. Exactly. Good example. I lived in southeast Missouri for almost 7 years, and I was very near Arkansas, Kentucky, where there was a lot of that going on. Matter of fact, my former pastor, his wife came out of that Pentecostal realm, if you want, because there's a lot of different kinds of Pentecostals, but that was the sect that she came out of, dressed all, you know, proper, no makeup, you know, long dresses, you know, long hair. I mean, to look at them, you think, wow, what a fine-looking Christian. But then when you see what they do at church, you're like, wait, these things don't add up. But, you know, there again, the outward appearance was there, but the understanding of the word was just way, way, way off. So that's why it's important to study, to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God.
Unto God.
That is the goal. That is what needs to be the motivation in everything that we do. It needs to be unto God.
Yes, sir.
You know, yes, will the pastor be happy because we're memorizing Scripture? Of course he will.
Yes.
But that's not the motivator. Because if it is, it's not going to last long. It's got to be for God's approval. And because when we do it that way, then he's going to help us to memorize Scripture. You didn't think that you could ever memorize Scripture before you started discipleship, did you?
No.
Matter of fact, you told Pastor to his face, there ain't no way. I am too brain dead for this. And yet, he's one of the best Scripture memory men we have in the church.
Amen.
I'm not good at memorizing Scripture either. But the ones that really mean something to me, that I can really apply and use, I make the extra effort to memorize those. And so it's all in what you want and how bad do you want it. All right, so we've looked at those two passages of scripture. We've put some meat on the bones, as I said before. We've gotten a fuller understanding of what they mean and what God wants of us in those scriptures. And they'll do us well to keep before our minds and before our hearts as we live out our Christian life. And that's why I chose those two passages on purpose. Because there's a lot there that we can use not only as new Christians, but as mature Christians as well. But in order to be a consistent and diligent laborer in the Word and work of God, we must have a desire for His Word. And let's be honest. We must desire God's Word more than the things of this world. If we don't, then God's Word is going to take second place. We must desire God's Word more than the things of this world. And let's face it. We fight against the flesh and the devil. That's two strikes against us. Though we're Christians, though we're truly born again, those of us that are, we still have a flesh. We still have those carnal desires that are contrary to God's word, and the devil knows what buttons to push. He's not all-knowing, but he sees what we do.
Yes, sir.
And he can act upon those things. So as a result of that, the desire for God's word does not come automatically. Now, you know, there's a misconception that when I become a Christian, my whole life is going to be geared towards serving God and loving God and learning His Word, and it's just going to be automatic. It's not. It's not automatic. I mean, you read Romans chapter 8 and the Apostle Paul, you know, the great Apostle Paul, and the fight that he had between the flesh and the spirit. And this was a man that, you know, I don't think any of us can hold a candle to. But yet he was honest enough with us to say, hey, I fight with my flesh all the time. It just kicks my rear end all the time. So why are we any different? Well, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's get some insight and some counsel from God's Word in that area of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you were in Hebrews, it's not a whole lot further to the right. First Peter chapter 2. And let's see, how about if we have Brother Ken, you read verse 1, and Jeff, you read verse 2.
All right. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Yes.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking.
Go ahead, Jeff.
First Peter 2.
2, 2.
As a newborn babe desires the sense of milk of the world, that ye may grow thereby.
All right, good job. Good job. So we're going to dissect these verses a bit. We may not go into the same detail as we did our previous verses, but there's some important things that we need to see here. Now, back a few lessons ago, we had really started this to get in depth in this study by using Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And that verse didn't tell us specifically what we should be laying aside. It just said this: let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So it painted a general picture. The weights and the sins that easily beset or trip us up or cause us to fall. Whereas this passage of Scripture gets into some specifics. And as Christians, you know, we hear the teaching of the Word, we hear preaching, and most of us, I think, really make genuine effort to get rid of things from the old life. But oftentimes, while we're concentrating our efforts on stopping certain things, other things pop up. Then we start putting effort on this thing that popped up here, and now this thing over here rears its ugly head again, or something else pops up. And it's the constant one of these things here. And after a while, you're like, I ain't got enough hands. That's the problem. We're trying to do it. And you're right. We don't have enough hands. We don't have enough feet. We don't have enough toes. There's just too much of our past that can still come back to haunt us and discourage us and put us down if we're trying to do it ourselves. But God says we shouldn't be doing this ourselves. Because, yes, we're partners with Him, but He's the one that has to empower us. He's the one that has to lead in this thing. Because He may want us to focus on one thing while we're trying to do something else. Because He knows the order in which He wants us to lay aside things, what will be most beneficial for us and help us in our Christian growth. But let's go and dissect verse 1 here. Because we've got some things that are pretty ugly here that are part of our old sin nature that have to be set aside. They have to be laid aside if we expect to be victorious in our Christian life. And it says, wherefore laying aside all malice. So again, using a concordance, let's look up the word malice. And the first one that gets there, let us know what the number is, and then we'll go to the Greek New Testament to get a definition there. Malice. Okay, you can't start there. You got to start in the front.
Oh.
Because you're not going to see malice there. You're going to see the Greek. So unless you know what number you're going to, you'll never find it.
It's like I say, well, I need those glasses.
What is it?
2549.
2549. Now you can go to the back.
49.
And look it up in the Greek, because the Greek is the New Testament, whereas the Hebrew is the Old Testament. And we're looking for number 2549. Mike, you got a concordance?
No, I don't.
Here, there's one sitting right there doing absolutely nothing. Why don't you go ahead and use that? Because the one in the back of your Bible is not going to get you a whole lot. You may stumble across a word here and there, but even then it's not going to give you a whole lot of definition. So do you know how to use one?
What was that number?
2549 in the Greek dictionary.
29.
All right, 2549. And Ken, you were the one that found it? Why don't you go ahead and read the definition of... Well, give us the phonetic rendering and then give us some definitions. Kakia, that's right.
Sadness. Depravity. Depravity. Or malignity, or trouble, evil, maliciousness, naughtiness, wickedness.
Not so good, huh?
Not good at all.
Not so good.
This is for malice, right? This is for
That's
malice.
Just for malice. Yeah. All of that's under the heading of one word, malice. And if you look up 2556, you'll find more. So, you know, for sake of time, we won't. But my point is that this is not good. This is what we're fighting against from our old sin nature. And God says, laying aside, does it say some malice? All malice. Now, y'all know as well as I do, we can't do that on our own.
No, we can't.
And even if we do most of it and there's still some, we still haven't obeyed God because it says all.
That's right.
Wow, that's a tall order. That's a lifelong commitment. That ain't going to happen in a week, a year, 10 years. Matter of fact, it ain't going to happen in this lifetime. We're just not going to get there. But we need to strive, though, to get there. All right, next word. So we're laid aside malice and all those nasty things that it just defined as being. How about guile? Whoever finds guile first, just give us the number and we'll go to it. Of course, I cheated. I already have all the numbers. Actually, I didn't cheat. I studied. Why am I saying cheat? I didn't cheat. I studied.
Study? Yes.
That's probably really what that means.
I think it says 1388.
1388 is correct. So you get to tell us how it sounds in Greek. This is an easy one. Some of them ended so hard, you're like, uh-oh. Ain't no way I'm going to survive this one.
$13.88.
Dolos. Right, dolos. Yeah, notice the little squiggly thing on the O?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it makes a different sound than the regular O. It's like, it's like dolos. Of course, I don't remember all that stuff from school, so. Yeah, am I right, John? Okay. So there's different O, like A, A, you know, all that. Well, that's what them little doodads on top are supposed to help you to do.
Meaning to decoy a trick, wile, craft, deceit, guile, or subtlety.
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 Woo! Decoy, trick, or bait, wile, craft, deceit, subtlety. Hmm. That ain't good. That ain't good. So all malice, all guile, there's all trickery, all deceit, all, you know, trying to sneak something in behind somebody's back. Okay, let's go to hypocrisies. I didn't look up that one. Y'all gonna have to help me with that one. I skipped over that one for some reason. $52.72.
I don't have my magnifier.
You want mine?
You have $52.72.
$52.72. All right. Let's go to 5272. I carry that with me all the time.
Well, mine is supposed to be in here. Someone took it out.
Uh-huh.
And who it was. Junior.
You wore that behind your patch?
Yeah.
5272. Mike, why don't you go ahead and take that one. Go ahead, man. You're monks, man. You know, we're all out together. You see that the phonetic rendering next to it? It's broken down. There's four syllables there. Hoop. Okay. Hoopocresis. 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 Yeah. Okay, so what does it say that it means?
Acting under a fine part.
A feigned part. Right.
Condemnation, dissimulation, and a hypocrisy.
Whoa. Acting under a feigned part. Being an actor, because I mean that's what actors do, right? That they're pretending to be a certain character, but that's not who they really are. And we pretty much know about that, but these other ones, condemnation and dissimulation, that's some pretty strong words that come under hypocrisy. And God says we're to lay all of that aside as well. And then the last one is evil speaking.
In that same one, it says from 5272, and that's the same one, to decide, speak, or act under a false part.
Ah. Yeah, okay. Basically pretending to be something that you're not or someone that you're not. Exactly. And that one we're very familiar with, but there's some other definitions in there that are a little deeper, and to me that they're almost like stronger in their wording. Yeah. You know, 5273, a dissembler. That's a troublemaker. That's someone who causes trouble between between two people. Man, somebody that gets in somebody else's business and stirs the pot. You know, that kind of stuff. All that falls under hypocrisy. That's a strong word. All right, and then the last one, and we'll leave off with this, is evil speaking. And I'm, for sake of time, since we're down to 5 minutes, it's 26:36. And evil and speaking are both 26:36. They both come from the same root word. So those two words in English, evil speaking, are actually one word in the Greek. 26:36. And Gary, when you get there, why don't you do that one?
Okay. 26:36.
Catalaleo.
Yeah. Okay.
You did that real good the first time too.
Catalaleo.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to talk that way.
To slander, speak against, evil of. To be a traducer.
Okay, now that's 26:35.
Oh, okay.
Is part of it as well.
Defamation.
Defamation.
Backbiting, evil speaking.
Okay, backbiting, defamation. Defamation of character. Ever heard that term before? When you defame someone's character, or you're saying things about their character that injures it, that ruins it. So that's what that's talking about, evil speaking. So that's pretty similar to the hypocrisy, isn't it? There's some definite parallels there. And God says, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And by the way, the hypocrisies and evil speakings probably come because of the envies. Mm-hmm. Notice how it's stuck in the middle of those two? Yeah. And we're going to leave off right there, and we'll pick up next week. Is that the last week of the month next week?
Yeah,
that's right. So I think next week is the last week of the month.
Yeah.
So because I'm going to have a combined class, we probably won't be doing this next week because I don't like to bring other people from another class right in the middle of something that we're doing because they're kind of left out in the cold, and I don't want to do that to them. All right, so we'll leave off right there for now, and we'll come back to finishing up the definition of verse 1, then we'll get into verse 2 and talk some more about that. And you've got your verse for next time, so you'll have a couple of weeks. And that's Romans 6:23. All right. And Brother Jeff, if you would dismiss us in prayer, please.
Blessed the Savior, we do pray that you'll be with us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come in here and we can decide through these, Lord, as men together and to get a clearer interpretation of the word of God that you've given to us and preserved for us over the years. Just pray, Lord, now that you'll bless the next service and all that we do, the snacks to follow, and fill us up, Lord, with your Holy Spirit in your precious name.
Amen. And if you would, please grab a chair, and if you can come back and grab one of these two big tables and put that on the rack over there, I'd appreciate that as well.